The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike. In the studio with me today, my good friend John Crossman, back again. Welcome back, John. First time in 2021.
That's right. Thank you so much for having me. It's always great to be with you, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, my goodness.
You look great.
Oh, thank you. I tell you, I had quite a run of it, and I'm grateful for all of our listeners who have had that battle with COVID-19. You all will be with me and agree with me when I say it is really good to feel good again.
I bet.
In the middle part of all of that, there were those moments where I wondered, is it ever going to be possible to feel good again?
But I get it. Well, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Glad to have you back. Tell me a little bit about your Christmas. I feel like I miss Christmas 2020.
I get it. I think mine was like a lot of people's. It was pretty subdued, which was good, and lots of good quality time with the family. We just try to do something different every day that was kind of unique. And my next season in my life is I've got a daughter that's a junior in high school, and we're looking at colleges right now. So we've got some college tours set up. So it's just a big new season we're entering into now, which is pretty exciting.
You know what? I love it when I talk to parents like that. We went through that. We had three of our kids attend the same university up in Gainesville all the years I lived up there. The Lord was so good in that time to send us to a city where had a... Now, if you're not a Gator, and I know, John, it might be painful for you, but we are so grateful. We had those years in Gainesville. They got to attend that. And those years are indeed special.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, my oldest one is really wants to go to a conservative Christian university. Like, you're going to be shocked by this. She doesn't care if they have a football team or not. Whoa. I can't even believe that. It seems crazy to me. So I'm learning a new world of schools. And it's funny, I posted on Facebook, I said, does anybody recommend any Christian universities? And it was like 120 comments. It's amazing, encouraging. So many great Christian universities are out there. So we're searching them around. So it's fun.
Southeastern in Lakeland is talked about a lot when it comes down to Christian schools in this area.
We're going on a tour. We are set up to tour. So we'll be there over spring break. Yeah, that's one of them. So very exciting times.
I used to know the president of that college. Used to be a pastor here in Orlando at one point.
Oh, awesome.
Not there now, but it's really exciting. And I know there's a lot of others in the South. Think of Toccoa, the Lee University, other Christian colleges that are highly spoken of. But I wish you the best during this fun time. And these are times, John, as being one that now is past all that. My kids are well beyond those years. And just have fun. Smell the roses along the way.
Yeah, really excited about it. It's good stuff.
Well, I've invited John back again. It's always really, to me, an inspiring time when John Crossman is on this show because I love John's thoughts, his wisdom, and I was thinking about, you know, we're living in a time where there's more division happening right now. Yeah. And sadly, it's affecting even Christians among other Christians in a lot of camps. And, you know, we heard President Biden on his very first speech as president call for unity. And yet it seems that in the days from that day forward that we've seen a lot of things that, well, there's an absence of unity. Sure. Let's just put it that way. We're not there. And I'm not really sure that the direction that we're seeing all of us go right now from a standpoint of our country is taking us out of this point of division. So we have that number one thing. There's still a lot of division, a lack of unity in our country. Number two, it's pandemic, John. Is it ever going to end?
Right.
I just don't know what it's going to take to end it. And then thirdly, fortunately in Florida, at least there's a lot of businesses that are optimistically holding on, but elsewhere in the country, not that way.
Yep.
California is hurting. Northeast is hurting. We have friends from New York City that have told us that it is a mess up there.
Yeah, for sure.
So with that, and kind of in a line of the old movie, what is that called? A trailer a movie trailer commercial. I thought we would introduce our topic matter with this question. So, Maestro, take it away.
In a world of divided viewpoints, a deadly pandemic, heartbreaking economic pressures, one man alone has the answers to every question, a solution for every problem. And his name is...
And it is not John Crossman, nor is it Mike Gillen. It is, of course, our Lord, Jesus Christ. He's the only one, John, that can really give us answers in times like these. Amen. We need the old song, in times like these, we need a Savior.
Amen.
Be very sure. Be very sure. Our anchor is the Lord, and He is the one. So I tell you what, when people say, what are you going to do? The Lord has given me great peace during this time. And that is the fact that while I don't know about tomorrow, I know who holds tomorrow.
Amen. Well, you want to talk a little bit about division?
Let's talk about that. Let's take it first of all. We're talking about number one point, people in this country are divided.
Well, you know, one of the things that I try to focus on is what are things that unite us? And when I say that, maybe the first point to think about is what are things that we all have in common? And when I focus on that, we all have some wounding, right? I mean, wounding is a part of our human condition, right? And, you know, we have that with our physical health and things like that, things that you were dealing with. But the deeper thing is the emotional wounding that we have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think through these turbulent political times, for example, I've seen a lot of believers really wounded on both sides of the aisle, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Either their person's in or their person's out, or something they're passionate about is getting help or not getting help. And so there's wounding. And I want to push in that a little bit and say this. I've got a friend of mine in my Bible study, has very little family. And a few weeks back, you know, messaged me and was in the hospital. He was in ICU. And I went and visited him. Turns out he had a couple strokes. And then the guys in my Bible study really cut up the work. And so one would go one day and one would go another day and things like that. And so as he was getting better, I was stopped by the hospital. I bumped into his doctor. And this is after 2 weeks. And the doctor said something that really shocked me, in that he looked at me and was talking. He said, you know, no one gets care like your friend. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, no one has visitors like he's had, you know, that you can only have one visitor today per day. And what I would tell you is, Mike, I don't think what I did and my other guys in Bible study did was a big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would just swing by the hospital on the way home from work and hang out a little bit and chat and then go home. But the reality is there's so many people that are in hospitals right now and no one is visiting them.
Mm.
They have a relationship with the staff, the nurses who are doing a great job, and the doctors, but they're suffering alone. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the first thing when I think about things that unite us is that if we're more aware of the woundedness of the people in our communities and trying to think about what can we do to be a healing balm on those wounds, you know?
I love it.
Right. And then the second thing is to think about, you know, when we're feeling anger, and listen, I'm a guy that, you know, I think anger is okay sometimes. Like when anger comes from passion, I think there's times that that's okay. But I also have to remind myself that, you know, sometimes anger comes from fear. Sometimes anger comes from hurt, right, or sadness. And so sometimes I have to remind myself, where is my anger coming from? Mm-hmm. Like, what is that in me?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I need to be quiet and go get healing. And I'm not going to get healing by screaming or yelling or pounding on somebody. I'm going to get healing by turning to God and through prayer and cycling and working that through, talking to another believer and dealing with that.
Yeah, you know, I think anger it's an emotion
that
comes, and it's going to come to every human being. The Bible doesn't say don't be angry. It just says in your anger, do not sin.
Right.
So that seems to be, now, you know, I've studied this a lot, and this seems to be the case to where the anger itself that we may feel in and of itself is not the sinful part. The sinful part is if in our anger we stew, we become bitter, we become angry to the point we take action, we say words that are really hurtful words to other people, maybe to your spouse or maybe to friends, people you know. And those words, even though we may be defending them and thinking, well, I'm saying this because I feel strongly about what, they're still birthed in a sinful response to something that caused you to be mad.
That's right. And I think the third part of that is that when someone's like pounding on me, they're literally mad at me, I try to reflect, you know, about maybe where is their woundedness, right? And that doesn't mean that them speaking to me in whatever way is appropriate. I'm not saying, hey, if somebody's talking to you in a really inappropriate way, that's okay. It's not okay. At the same time, I'm trying to think of how do we get deeper to listen to see what's really going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I have two friends that are, I know both love Jesus, and they're saying the exact opposite thing politically, sometimes what I hear going on there is that underneath each of them thing is a different kind of wounding. And they both need to be working through and getting the healing they need before they can be a place of they can listen to one another,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's interesting. You and I have the ability to have challenging conversations, but I think part of that is that both you and I have had our own experiences of being hurt and healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I have both in our own stories looked into the abyss and got through it. And also we have very pleasant tone with each other, and we're able to talk and have those things in a healthy way. And so sometimes we need to have believers get together and have really hard conversations. And sometimes those same believers need to be separated and have a little healing before we have those hard conversations.
You
right?
know, there's something that I think that I've learned, and it was tough to learn these lessons the first time. But the Bible talks about faithful are the wounds of an enemy, right?
Right.
No. Says faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Right.
The thing of it is that sometimes our friends, it is our friends that can say things that really wound us.
Right.
And in the beginning, they seem hurtful. They seem wrong. This is the worst thing that could have ever happened. And no, not really. Sometimes what feels like a wound in the beginning is actually going to be proven in your life to be a faithful act of love. And sometimes I think, John, when friends get into quarrels, it's because two things have happened. Number one, there's an offense. And when there is an offense in the part of one or the other, that's almost like we stop listening to anything except that one hurtful aspect. We stop thinking about any other aspect of our friendship. We stop thinking about any other words that they may have tried to say that might have qualified or quantified what they meant by what they said. We've stopped right there, and that offense has become a bitter barb. It's a root, and it really will mess our mind up. And then I think the other aspect is that we fail to think the best of our friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't ask ourselves the question, what was he trying to really say right there? Or sometimes we have to understand that our friend may say something and it came out differently than what he really wanted to say,
mm-hmm,
but that's what came out. And in the moment, that's where he was.
Well, and I also think that we need to get focused on what things really matter and what things don't. You know, it's funny, on another time, another day, I'll talk to you about the scholarship we just launched at University of Florida. But you know, I went to FSU.
Yeah, and I do know that.
And I'm a big time Seminole. And, you know, it's embarrassing when I think about it now. But when I was in my 20s, man, if Florida beat us in football, I wouldn't even want to talk to a Gator, right? You know? And it's not that I don't still love football, I do. But I've learned it, like, you know, first off, it's not that big a deal. Secondly, I have no control. Like, I have no control over that. And I finally decided in my life, I don't want my emotions so impacted by something I have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was talking earlier about visiting my friend in the hospital and being kind to the nursing staff and being kind to the valet, what I want to remind people is like, you know, when we think about these political times and people get really hurt because it's like my guy lost or my guy won or whatever, like, you know, there's a point where the election's over. There's not much you can do, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But there are so many things you can do, you know, like that you can pray about and be aware of the suffering that's around you, right? So when I saw these people in the hospital, they don't care what's going on politically. They don't, like, they're dealing with life and death. You know, like when you were so ill,
mm-hmm,
you know, you were dealing with life and death, right?
It felt that way.
Yeah. Well, if it felt that way, it was, right?
Yeah.
And so you talked about, you know, your wife was reading to you and things like that's
yeah.
what mattered. And so I think the thing about it is, it's like you know, certainly we have feelings and we need to kind of process that through, but we've got to have a calmness to us, a meekness to us, and staying focused on things that really are impactful.
I agree completely. And, you know, again, with this state of division, it's a deep state of division. It is something it's been around a long time. We know that. It's seemingly gotten worse. I know I remember back to last Memorial Day when you were on my show on Memorial Day and we mm-hmm. were talking about some of these very things.
Right.
And ironically, it's so sad to realize where I guess the pathway of our country has led since the tragic murder of George Floyd in 2020 and the line that was drawn from there. And there's so much now division that the election cycle brought about, and there's so much just really bitter stuff being said. It's everywhere. I think it's important that we all get a good dose again of what the Lord wants us to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned, my wife reading to me when I was sick, one of the things that she read that just spoke so much to me came from Paul David Tripp, and it was in his wonderful New Mercies devotional. It's just amazing. But she was reading this one day, and it was talking about how that we tend to look to the right or to the left horizontally for our answers. We can even look to the right or the left horizontally for our Savior, but we'll never find our Savior looking to the right or to the left. We can only find that in the vertical relationship when I look up to God. Mm-hmm. And there was something about it, John, that in that moment, some of the pain that I was feeling over things that had gone on, for which I had no answer, for which there seemed to be no explanation, some of those things that are still there, they lost their rank of importance in my life.
Right.
Because now my trust in the Lord, even though I was sick as a dog, what God did in my heart in that moment, it really did change me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, when I think about one of the things that pops up in our society a lot is the topic of virtue signaling. You know, people talk about that. And when they talk about that, it's like somebody barking about some social justice thing, and they're really kind of doing it to get self-attention. And also, they're not really actually working on the issue itself. So somebody might start talking about race, but they're sort of calling this group or that group racist or whatever, but they're not actually doing anything, you know? And so I always come back to, you know, as a Christian, like having a sense of peace about life and then thinking through what are actionable things we can do as believers to help out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're now into Black History Month.
Yes, we
you
are.
You know, which is a good thing to be talking about for a lot of reasons. And one of the things that, you know, I'm so passionate about is HBCUs, which is Historically Black Colleges and Universities. And I love working with them, and I love guest lecturing there, and I love participating in them. And what's funny to me is like we go back to Uniting, the president with the largest financial support of historic black college universities in the history of the U.S., President Donald Trump. And then we think about, has there ever been a graduate of an HBCU in the White House? Vice President Harris right now. So I look at that topic and I'm like, hey, this is something, you know, we can agree mm-hmm. upon. And then when I talk to, sometimes people will say to me like, gosh, John, you know, you lecture a lot at colleges. I've lectured over 30 universities. And people say, how is it being in that, you know, liberal area? And they're trying to, you know, whatever, you know, brainwash kids and stuff like that. I always tell people I've never experienced that. And all these colleges I've been at, I've always had the ability to talk about exactly what I like talking about, which is Christianity, capitalism, conservatism, being a Republican. You know, I talk about my worldview and things. Black colleges are even better because they're more welcoming of sharing your faith. And so what I always say to people is like, if you're a Christian and you're conservative and you're like concerned about some of these topics, man, Black History Month, you know, invest in a black college. Go there and be mm-hmm. a part and participate. And if you got any questions, you can reach out to me and we can talk about it. But let's not be people that sit on couches and just, you know, post on social media about a topic or complain or yell at the TV set. You know, let's try to find our peace. And then let's try to find like actionable items, specific things we can do to help lean in into hard topics.
I tell you what, this is a great thought and a great place to be on this day one, February 1, 2021, because like you said, today is the first day of Black History Month. And again, when we look at our country and the sad things that are being said all around us, I tell you, John, if your verbal diet was only what you would hear on the news, this would be a very sad time.
Right.
I'm just encouraging everybody, really be very careful about where you get your thought material, where you get fed on a day-to-day basis. What are the very first, Spurgeon said something that was so good. He talked about that in the morning when he first woke up, he wanted his first glance to not be at the world, but he wanted his first glance to be at the Lord.
Amen. That's great.
And I think that's where we need to be today. We need to find out that and need to be reminded once again that the only source of unity, the only source of joy, the only source that's going to help us through February 1, 2021, or any other day of the year, is if we are looking at what unites us all.
Well, and I think to cap all that would be, let's think about wounds, and then what are we doing to help heal wounds? Are we poking wounds, mm-hmm. right? Or are we trying to be a healing balm on a wound? You know, when you put a healing balm on a wound, that's kind of stings too, by the way. That's why you got to do it very gently, okay? And then where are we receiving our healing and how are we approaching healing? You know, race is an issue. Like we could just say, let's just not talk about it. No, it's a thing. So what's our role? How can we be a part about that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of political anger. Okay, well, what can we do? Let's not be a part of that anger.
Right.
Let's do things like let's support candidates that people really can rally around and believe in. Let's encourage our political parties to reach out on hard, tough conversations and provide solutions, right? And so I think there's a lot of things we can do that are hard. But I always come back to the fruits of the Spirit. You know, God calls us to be gentle. I think one of the reasons why is because we're all so fragile. I also think He's gentle with me.
Mm-hmm.
God is patient with me. God's kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I benefit so much from His character and trying to do what I can to pass that character on to fellow believers. And everything we can do, healing wounds, that's a key thing.
It is. John Crossman is my guest today. John is a dear friend to this program and to me, and I'm grateful for him and thankful that you, my friends, are here with us today on Afternoons with Mike. We're going to be back, take a quick break, and I'll see you back here in just one moment. Back again with my good friend John Crossman in the studio today. Happy to have him here. Friends, thank you for being with us. And now at our new time, so enjoying this across the Shepherd Radio Network, whether it's in Gainesville or Ocala, also in Orlando. We're all on the same time in the afternoon. And again, for the replay each evening at 9:05 Monday through Friday. Or if you're listening via podcast right now, well, you can always get the program on demand by going to any of your favorite sources like iTunes or Apple or Spotify or Google Podcasts, and the keywords that you need to find us with, and you can tell your friends this, Afternoons with Mike. You'll see the blue logo with the white lettering, and there you go. And then you can subscribe to our channel, and regardless of how you're listening today, we are grateful that you're here. Grateful to have John Crossman, my friend, here with us as well, talking about these three things that, boy, we find ourselves in a world where these three things are in just about every newscast. Number one, of course, we've just talked about the fact that we are a country divided in so many ways, and the whole first segment was devoted to that. Number two, and this will be our next point together, this pandemic just does not want to go away. And John, it seems like even with all the positive talk about vaccines, and vaccines now are here, they're being administered to some degree everywhere. But then as quick as they talk about that, come the new discussions of different strains or variants. And it makes one wonder, are we ever going to get past this thing? That's what a lot of people are asking.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, I want to start this segment off by telling you a little story. So my dad was really, really relatively young. He was about 62 and had a series of bunch of complicated health issues, which led to his kidneys shutting down.
Mm.
And so he had to go on dialysis. Now, when you go on dialysis, you know, for those people who don't know, For one thing, it's like having a part-time job. I mean, just go with the unit and all that. And then number two, you always feel sick. Like, you know, some people say, like being on dialysis, like you always feel like you have the flu, right? Like, it's just this, you know, it's a constant thing. And dialysis patients live about 4 years. And so when you're in a dialysis unit, you know, 25% of the patients die every year. And so, you know, you think about it, it's like having a part-time job where 25% of your coworkers pass away every year. I mean, think about that as just a setup. So when you go to a dialysis unit, people watch TV or they listen to music or they sleep. So my dad, being my dad, decided that during that time, he was going to start praying for people. Mm. And so he started making a list of people that he would pray for. And the list grew and grew and grew. And then, you know, 9 years later, when my dad passed away, I still have his prayer list. It's actually right downstairs in my office. I keep it with me all the time. And I have even his notes on there. And he would pray for people. He would pray for topics. He'd pray about all kinds of things. And so it was a really interesting example of somebody taking something that was really negative and making it into a positive. Something else was interesting is that, you know, my dad, being a pastor, he was really comfortable talking about grief. And yet in dialysis clinics, they don't really talk about it that much. Tough topic. So my dad, before he passed away, spoke at two different dialysis conventions, two doctors, and he wore a button he had made that said good grief. And so he would sort of talk about that subject. So I think with the pandemic, you know, it's a challenge in my mind to think through, what's our prayer list that we can do during this time? You know, what is it that when we're practicing all these different restrictions, you know, what can we do that, like, make it in a proactive way? You know, I will tell you one thing that's funny is, like, I'll confess this. Don't tell anybody, Mike. I keep this a secret. But sometimes I forget to wear my mask, and it's just, you know, I'm busy and I'm grabbing my wallet, my phone. Sometimes I do. But I have really learned to be very much on top of that and very compassionate, again, because because there are people that are very concerned about that. And I'm not trying to be like I'm not, but I think to myself, man, John, even if you feel great, wear your mask. To other people, it's about honoring other people and being very thoughtful about that. Mm-hmm. I actually was just yesterday was thinking about swinging into Publix just for a second to get something. I'm like, I have a mask on. I'm not going. I'm going to go home, get my mask, you know. So I think that there's all kinds of ways that we can kind of take into all this and then think about ways to practice compassion and be kind to people. The other thing I would tell you is that, you know, what's interesting about the pandemic is that it's right in our face, right? And we're all dealing with it. And I would say that there are lots of other illnesses and things that our society faces that don't ever get talked about. And so maybe this is a way to kind of remind us of that. And one in particular would be is suicide. You know, I've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This coming Saturday, we've got our virtual, some physical, some virtual suicide walk awareness for the American Society of Suicide Prevention. And I'm participating in this year. And this year, I'm walking, participating on behalf of veterans and first responders that we've lost to suicide. You think about people who go through training to carry a gun and go to another country to protect you and me, Mike, or people that come barging in to save us from a fire or from having a heart attack or getting robbed. And yet we've lost those very people who have made those, we've lost them into their own hands to suicide. And so to think through, gosh, what do we need to do to bring attention to that? What do we need to do to prevent that? And then how do we help the families of those, right?
I agree with you. And that's where you're talking about compassion. It's, if it's ever needed anywhere, it's in that area right there, because the last thing in the world a family needs is for critical words to be spoken to a family member that is remaining after a loved one has taken their own life. We just don't know where that person was, where they were. Yeah. We don't know where they were with regards to the Lord. I don't know any of those things. It would be presumptive for me to act like I did. And yet, I think a lot of, again, well-meaning people can jump in without thinking, say things they really shouldn't say. And I think what you're doing is marvelous. We need to be praying for not only those that are fighting with this thing, because it's very real. And I tell you what, John, we were talking about COVID before we started recording today, and even my own bout with it. And I mentioned to you that when you're as sick as I was there in those 2 weeks with that high fever, anyone's brain can tell them weird things, and you can start feeling thoughts that are not typical for you.
Right.
And sadly, that has happened to a lot of people, and they're in that condition. And in that moment, that's what happened.
I have a friend who had a family member on dialysis, and they came home. They were doing dialysis at home. And in caring for their family member, they had to do Purell, you know, cleaning all the time. Well, years later, their family member passed away. And one of the things that happened is that she developed an allergic reaction to Purell.
Is that right?
Right. And so to this day, she can wash her hands, but she can't use that. And she and I were talking about this recently because when you think about it, you know, that's one of those other things that's a result of the pandemic. You know, like everyone's putting all this Purell in their hands. Well, it's a chemical, right? And so it's good that we do it, but if we do it too much, there's other problems. Just so it's like we need to wear our mask. And, you know, but if you don't clean your mask and you're reusing a mask, then that can create problems. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, when we socially distance, man, we are not made to be socially distanced, you know. So we need time with people. And of course, we've got to be careful. And so it's this balance. And so the reason why one of the reasons why I bring up the subject of suicide is that maybe one of the victories of the pandemic is getting us to talk about some things that maybe we weren't talking about before. Just like my dad being on dialysis ended up talking about prayer. It was on dialysis and he was talking about grief. And so I'm saying it's so easy to talk about pandemic anywhere, right? Yeah. But maybe that leads us to talking about other baked related topics, you know? And so if we can start talking about mental health, and you know, it's so funny, Mike, you know, sometimes the church, you know, churches, places, people, Christians themselves cannot be relevant when crisis. You and I and the people in this room, we want to be relevant as believers. Jesus is always relevant. And it just doesn't take much looking in any society to see just intense suffering, intense loneliness. And if we're more aware of people suffering and we're more aware of reaching out to them and the way Christ wants us to love people, that's where the church starts going on fire and really starts, you know, ramping up. And so there's opportunities in tough times like these to see the faith grow in ways like we've never seen it grow.
I agree. And, you know, we don't grow. We don't grow in great times.
Right.
We never grow when things are just fantastic.
Right.
We grow when things are difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's ever been a time that we should be growing, it's right now.
Yeah. It's funny. We're back and you're talking about politics. Like, people will freak out about this person, this leadership position, another position. I'm like, guys, as Christians, we've lived under kings and tyrants and dictators and czars. You know, we've lived under all that kind of stuff, and we will continue to be. And we have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that live in different kind of things. It's going to be okay. We've got to come back and think about who is it that we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the pandemic is going to teach us so many things that are so important to our society. And we as Christians can be on the leading edge of that. And if we as Christians are finding lightning in a bottle and finding out ways to help people through mental health and suffering and addiction issues, that's where we grow.
A friend of mine sent me to this today. This is from Paul David Tripp's New Morning Mercies, that the one I'd mentioned to you that Cindy was reading me from to me when I was sick. But listen to what is February 1st's reading is all about. It talks about how, think about, he says, the words penned by Peter near the beginning of his New Testament home. Now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter. And he says, as he opens his letter, Peter gives us a past, present, future summary of God's redemptive plan. But his interest is really in what God is doing right here, right now, between Christ's first and second comings. And listen to this, John. Of all the words that he could use to describe what God is doing now, he selects these three: grieved, trials, and tested.
Mm.
Those three things are going to be where we are very often. And it is because of the fact that we were never told that life is a rose garden and we're to live with, you know, this is going to really date me, but we're not having Calgon baths every day. There's a commercial that was talking about, you know, luxury and peace and relaxation and just take a nice warm bath in this wonderful soap and you're going to feel great. Life is never intended to be about that. We're the Bible says, Jesus said that you're going to be tested with many trials.
Right.
But he gives us this promise as he did to Peter. But I have prayed for you. Mm. What a wonderful promise.
Absolutely. And I would say that when we're thinking about those trials, what is making our heart ache? What is making our heart ache, you know? And I think that's a good thing. Like, what's got a hold of our heart, you know? Is it a trial when we have, you know, less amount of money in our 401k? Mm-hmm. Is it a trial when we see that so many people have passed away from COVID? Is it a trial when we are aware of, you know, children that are aren't properly clothed and don't have what they need? I mean, you know, what is our heart tethered to, right? So I do think all trials, like any trial you're feeling is a trial. I don't dismiss that. But I also think that we need to be more connected into the things that truly, truly matter to God, right?
I think that that's important. And I think it's equally important that we remember that when a trial comes, we need to not forget everything else we know about God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the big problems that many people have is that when something comes up, they're so shocked that something bad has happened to them that it's easy to start saying, like, I must have done something wrong to bring this on. And the answer to that sometimes is, no, you didn't. This is just life in a fallen world. And we're going to inherit at times trials and problems and pandemics. We should not be so shocked that we're fighting something like this. It's not the first plague that's ever hit the world.
It won't be the last either.
And it won't be the last, more than likely.
You know, it's funny, Mike. I got a friend of mine, and after the Mr. Floyd's murder happened, his church ended up coming out with an apology statement and then said all these things. And my friend was really offended. He did not like that the church did that. And his whole stance was, I don't feel like they needed to do that. And so I was walking with my friend and I said, well, tell me more about that. And, you know, he's a white guy. He grew up with really great parents and they were very much aware of, you know, different races, things like that. Like, he just doesn't think in a racial way. And so I had to say to him, say, listen, I just want you to think about something. Maybe the leaders at your church do owe an apology. Maybe in their hearts, you know, they have been struggling with race, right? Maybe this is about them acknowledging that. I was recently in a conversation at lunch with a guy who's a Christian guy, and we were talking about some race issues, and he was just like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. And I was trying to be really compassionate, but, you know, I know friends that are Black who are, they love Jesus like as much as any of me I've ever met, and they're very much aware of it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that it's trying to get in connection and aware of the Spirit and what's going on around us, right?
I think that's right.
You know, it's also another thing, Mike. I think that it's one of those things, like, if you're feeling something really strongly and then you open up God's Word and then you just try to find scripture that sort of affirms what you're feeling, that can be a very dangerous thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. But when we're studying God's Word and allowing that to impact our feelings, you know, sometimes our feelings are just based on our beliefs, right? And our beliefs are based on sometimes lies, like sometimes it's not reality. And that is not a good, strong tether to keep going. So we've got to get back to truth, right?
Right.
And what are we called to? And then hopefully that's impacting what we feel.
I agree, man. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing greater than to realize a lesson from a difficulty. And oftentimes these difficult trials, I mentioned to my kids on our little delayed Christmas that we had.
Right.
We weren't able to have Christmas on Christmas because of COVID. We had our Christmas on January 23rd with our family. But I was sharing with them that in a real way, I had to be grateful that I was knocked on my back, so to speak, with COVID, because it was during that moment that the Lord spoke so clearly to my heart and straightened me up on a lot of things that I didn't even realize I was worried about and not trusting the Lord in. And so it's in our trials, it's in these difficulties, and it could well be that it's in this pandemic that God wants to slow us down and realize what really is important.
I agree so much. I'll wrap up this with saying that, the hardest season of my life ever was when I went through clinical depression. I mean, it was hell. I mean, it was my hell. It just was so awful. And yet I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for it because it's given me such empathy to people who are struggling from that. I'm grateful for the strength it did to my faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want to go through it ever again. I really don't.
Yes.
You know, but again, I would just say it's like when we choose to love, we're choosing to experience sadness, right? When we mm-hmm. choose to love the people that God's called us to love, like we're going to lose people and we're going to suffer. And so to be able to walk into that and then work on the skills we need to handle that, that's really key. And you're right. Maybe this is teaching us some good skills.
I think we can learn. I think we can all learn. And as the old saying goes, there's usually a silver lining behind every dark cloud. Mm-hmm. If we take the time and we pray and we say, Lord, what are you saying? What would you have me to do in the middle of this? John Crossman is my guest. We've got one more segment with him coming up. Don't go away. I'll be right back. This is Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd Radio Network. In the studio today with John Crossman. John is he's an Orlando businessman. He has done a lot in his life. Tell us a little bit about some of your current work that you're doing right now.
Well, thanks, Mike. So I've got two things I'm doing right now. One is with my career coaching business, and through that, I do a lot of my charitable work in it. So a lot of stuff we do for free, helping out, you know, college students, young professionals, and then we do some CEO coaching. I always say that you bring us in for a CEO or for a company when you're experiencing transition. That's usually painful stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so that's where we're really at our best and tough topics. And the other company I have is Crossmark Services, and it's a commercial real estate company. And we're out there seeking to buy properties, and we do some advisory work for a handful of like local real estate families. And so we run real estate assets for folks and help them consulting and investment advising.
And you're an author, and your book is highly acclaimed. Tell us about it.
So that's Career Killers, Career Builders. And you know what's funny, Mike? I was jogging it last night, and I was thinking, I would love at some point to say, man, my book isn't relevant anymore. Truly, I wish I could say that, because I talk about career killers. I talk about when you think about somebody who's super successful, and they do something so stupid that they like kill their career.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I wrote the book, I really kind of highlighted the ones that were the most common, I saw the most often, and I still see them all the time.
Yeah.
I just can't believe it. And so, you know, I talk about pride and I talk about greed and things like that. And then I talk about things in the book to help prevent it, like, you know, having close friends and counseling and dealing with those issues. But man, oh man, we still deal with it. And I'm working on another book right now, hopefully be out sometime soon, trying to get it wrapped up. And it's going to be called If I Were 21. And it's for college
students.
Yeah,
that's right. We talked about that because I didn't know you were working on that when I had that idea, Dear Younger Me segment that we did. And you mentioned on the day that that was so apropos because you were working on a book and I had no idea about questions that you would ask yourself if you could, as an older person, go back and gain from the wisdom that we all get as we grow older. But it seems to come as we grow older,
right?
And how nice it would be to have all of that wisdom. And this is going to be a real help to people, John. I know your book's going to be great.
Thank you so much.
I love it. So the third thing that we are talking about today, we've talked already about the divisions that we're really fighting in our culture, in our country. Secondly, the pandemic, its impact. And as we ended up on that discussion, praying that God would show us the silver linings that can all be achieved from this terrible thing that's happened to our country. And then the third thing, part of the fruit of the pandemic, especially in this time frame, but not solely because of it. And there are other economic factors that are at work. And with a new administration, some of these things are yet to be realized. Just to what degree that some of the new executive orders that President Biden is putting in, what is it going to be doing on businesses, the changes in our tax structure? The bottom line is that 2020 saw many, many, many businesses go under and they shut their doors, maybe never to open again. So those that are left have had to almost reinvent themselves. And so I would love your thoughts on where could a businessman look right now if he's struggling? What thoughts could occupy his mind today that might help him?
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot to cover. Well, the first thing I'd say is that we are blessed to have a nation with so many entrepreneurs, right? The entrepreneurial spirit of our nation. And we have lots of men and women out there who are got great business ideas, and they come up and things change with the services and ideas and things that they create and provide. And so when we go through tough times, you know, what's that expression of invention? Necessity is the motherhood of invention, mm-hmm, right?
There you go.
So, you know, a lot of times things like this happen and good ideas come out of it. Businesses start from it. You know, we know that Publix started during the Great Depression. So a lot of times it squeezes forward and brings through new ideas. When we think about the next level of a business after sort of an entrepreneur step, it becomes about marketing, right? Like trying to get the word out, and then you kind of go to a next level. And then the third step is really being all about process. Like if you want to be a bigger company, you got to be about process. With all three of those steps, you know, what I think this market has taught us is that the need to be nimble, right? And the need to be ever looking forward. And so the smaller companies and the bigger companies that have been able to like react and pivot and make necessary changes and do it quickly have done really, really well. And I can think of like, you know, one of my favorite places, Sato Sushi. You know, here's a Japanese restaurant that's outstanding food. And then when the COVID hit, you know, they started doing delivery. They were delivering toilet paper, delivering beef stew. You know, they were delivering, you know, they pivoted. They started doing things differently. Now they're back to their normal thing. You know, Publix with so many things that they jumped into. And now they have the vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's small or big, it's really being nimble and learning to move and process. And so advice, you know, I think this is a good time to try to find space to pull back and get with a CEO coach or get with, that wasn't a plug for me. I'm not that kind of CEO coach, but get with somebody who can help you and really say, hey, how do I come out of this and reinvent myself? And with that, really trying to think through about the value you're creating for your customers. Like, yeah,
well, it's true.
Ahead,
what
ahead,
you
please.
Just said right there, I'm going to jump in
please,
on
please.
This. What you just said, I love the word that you're using, pivoting.
Yeah.
And I mean, being from Indiana, that when I think of that, I immediately think of a basketball player.
Right.
And how that when you come to a point where you pick the ball up mm-hmm. and you're no longer dribbling, you've got the pivot foot, and that's an all-important foot. Now, you can't move the pivot foot.
Right.
Well, at least you're not supposed to. We know in today's NBA they do. Let's all admit it. They do. They pick their pivot foot up, but you're not supposed to pick. But that pivot foot, I saw a guy legally in a move in a basketball game on Sunday, and he just juked the guy that was defending him out of his shoes by pivoting.
Hmm.
And ended up, he was down on the baseline. He made a move to the right. He made a move to the left. He made a quick move to the right. And then before that guy could even get his balance back, he had pivoted all the way back around to his left and found himself legally with a pivot foot move, found himself to where he was able to put the ball up and into the rim, almost like the guy was nowhere near him. He put that guy on his back by pivoting. What a great picture.
Well, and you know, it's funny is that you'll see this in companies and sadly in churches that refuse to pivot, right? They refuse to. The organizations that just, they refuse to change. And those are ones that get kind of eaten up. You know, mm-hmm. think about how powerful the names Sears and Kmart were for so long. And when you think about Amazon really is just doing what Sears did, right? But Amazon...
Yeah, they started on the catalog concept.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, but Amazon keeps, you know, they keep ramping it up. They're trying to keep doing it. So that's part of business. And so we go back to our last conversation was about the pandemic and during our faith and how we suffer and then get stronger and then we can give more. It's the same thing in business, you know, that when we have these times where we've got to really work hard. It's like my friend used to say, you know, when you have new grass down and, you know, sometimes this guy's here, like you didn't water it as much because it made the roots go deeper in mm-hmm. to try to get to the water. And so it's the same thing. It's like as we reach in, we get deeper and hopefully we get smarter and we get more thoughtful about how we're spending our money. And as business leaders, like, you know, not spending in some areas and investing in other areas, right?
That's such a great thought, John. And I think that whole thing about difficult times can be times for the roots to grow.
Yeah.
It's really hard to think about that if all your eyes are on is what's above the ground.
Well, yeah. And you listen, I mean, think about this. There's a lot of people, I mean, I think a huge percentage of people would complain about the media and news and say these different things. And I would say, man, I hear you. There's a lot of that I don't like. So here's the deal. Find what you do like and be loyal to it and support it and encourage it. Mm. Every time we're seeing things happening that are good and healthy and wonderful, Grandma used to always say this, like, as a consumer, you vote with your dollars, right? Like, spend your money and spend your time connecting with things you believe in. You see good quality things happening.
That's wonderful. John, give us your website where people can get in touch with you, buy your book, etc.
Yeah, sure. It's www.crossmancrossmancb.com. It stands for Crossman Career Builder, so it's crossmancb.com.
All right. And John Crossman's book is just wonderful, highly recommended, as well as your coaching and also your real estate company. Get in touch with John. Visit his website. Just know how much I appreciate your being with me here today. And it's always a joy to have you on. And we talk about these three things, just wrapping up. Friends, I do share, if you check out the website tomorrow, go to it, get this podcast, share it with people, because division and the pandemic and our business state, it's out there. We're all in it. But there is something good that can come to us in the middle of all of these things.
Amen.
That's great. Thanks, John Mike. Crossman, my guest today. And friends, thank you for being with me today on my program Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.